interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, February finale edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, live from the tap room, and this is what I'm talking about. 4:03 p.m., there's 15-plus people here already. That's how you do it, employers of Acadiana. I'm joined, as always, by the famous Clint D. back inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We'll leap right into two big national storylines. First, Bryce Harper, then Jason Witten. And we'll take your phone calls on both, 706-0111. When it comes to Bryce Harper, understand, this is a league with no salary cap. If the Phillies have it, they could spend it. If Bryce Harper can fetch it, he should take it. Now that the pleasantries are out of the way, what an amazingly ludicrous deal that this is. 13 years, $330 million. Bryce Harper to join Aaron Nola and an on-the-rise Philadelphia Phillies team. Is he a piece that can help them get where they want to go? Absolutely. Would you pay a cat that much money who is average at best defensively? Strikeout prone? Yes. The counting stats are going to be phenomenal. He drew the most walks of anyone in Major League Baseball last year. And you're going to sell the ever-living you-know-what out of his jersey. But would you pay him that much money? Probably not for me. And not a nickel of it is deferred. Now, what's interesting, this is not the largest annual deal ever in Major League Baseball history. That belongs to Nolan Arenado, third baseman for the Rockies. And heck, that thing is less than 4 or 5 days old. The ink drying there, Arenado getting $33 million plus a season. And that deal, like I said, just came earlier this week. But let me run down the rest of the news on this deal for you. And then we can get into some of the ways in which I think it's vastly overpaying and trying to corner a market that the Giants didn't seem willing to. Clearly the Washington Nationals weren't willing to. But Harper's getting all this money with no opt-out. It is a new record, not for an annual deal, but for an overall dollars deal. It just best what Giancarlo, don't call me Mike Stanton, got in November of 2014. From the Miami Marlins, that one was $325 million. Now, what's interesting about this, the Nats will get a compensatory first-round pick in the next draft because Harper rejected about an $18 million qualifying offer from them. But from their side, I'm sure this is good riddance, respectfully. I don't blame them at all for not wanting to ante up. They never even got out of the first round of the playoffs with this guy. Sound familiar? Maybe a little Anthony Davis-esque Louisiana. And on the other side, the Phillies, they didn't pay the 2018 luxury tax, so what that means, they only have to forfeit a 2019 second rounder to make this deal work. And the GM of the Phillies said, before this hot stove period, we will be active. We will throw around stupid money. Today they did, and it culminates a period in which they've brought in Andrew McCutchen, Gene Segura, JT Realmuto. They have a lineup that's going to be one of the best in the NL now. And there's no question that Bryce Harper is their biggest gun. Again, the counting stats, they're going to be phenomenal. But boy, I hope that for their sake, for Aaron Nola's sake up there in the city of brotherly love, and those merciless Philadelphia fans, I hope that they got a guy who's going to be a little bit more about winning than he is about getting his. I love the attitude from Harper. I love the way that he attacks the game, the type of teammate he is. Boy, I just don't know if I'm spending quite that much money. But the numbers, again, first reported by John Heyman, MLB Network, 13 years, $330 dollars, and not a chance in Hades that I'm spending that much money on one player. The final thought I'll leave you with for now on this topic, this is the anti-money ball. It's a lot of money to play baseball, but it ain't money ball. Billy Bean is laughing his tuchus off right now, wherever the heck the Oakland A's are for spring training. This is the opposite of having a cornerstone or two. Because even those Oakland A's teams in the early to mid-2000s, I mean, they had some cornerstones. They had some good players for a while. But then they brought in the Kevin Youkilises of the world, the David Justices of the world, and they found guys that fit niches that didn't break the bank. And so we'll see if the Phillies are going to be able to successfully pull off what the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the big market teams, the Dodgers, let us not forget last year. We'll see if the Phillies are ready to play that type of money ball, a very different money ball than what we're used to from the cultural, historical reference of the Oakland A's. I know, not a local topic, but it's just such big money. I had to lead with it. And you're welcome to weigh in. 706-0111. I'll share our guest list at the end of this segment, but I want to at least get a couple of thoughts in on Jason Witten, because it'll be a huge part of our sink or swim question when we get past this for opening break. Witten, coming out of retirement, leaving Monday Night Football, and going back to the Dallas Cowboys for a 16th season playing tight end. And I got to tell you, I heard Jordy Holtberg earlier on Acadiana Sports Station. I completely agree with him. I completely agree that this is likely, the way I look at it, the best parachute option for the player and for the organization. And when I mean the organization, you know who I'm talking about. That station that controls the rights for Monday Night Football. This is the best parachute option from a quite less than stellar broadcasting debut. Jordy mentioned it. I'll repeat it. Ratings are down. But it's not just that. If you think that this is formulaic, if you think, kind of like, here's how I liken it. It's a little bit like NFL GMs and executives saying, you know what? Sean McVay worked out pretty well with the Rams. Let's go find our next Sean McVay. It's the exact same thing. Copycat league. It's a formula, right? Tony Romo's been tremendous. His transition has gone swimmingly for CBS alongside Jim Nantz. Certainly it's going to work for another polished player from the Dallas Cowboys. Proximity to Romo, similarities to Romo, and the two aren't even in the same stratosphere when it comes to broadcasting and providing color analysis for football games. So to my guy, Jordy Holtberg, we see this one the same. I think this was a gracious way for him to bow out. He'll call it competitive juices, and I'm sure those are flowing. And when it comes to what he might actually be able to provide for the Dallas Cowboys, he'll be mildly productive. He'll be a team leader, and especially in the latter form, hey, that can't hurt. Cannot hurt with still a fairly young team with the quarterback in Prescott, the running back in Elliott, and even the new star receiver in Amari Cooper. I mean, these are all guys that have been in the league, what, 4, 5 years or less? Can't hurt to have the presence of Jason Witten. If you're expecting more than 60 receptions, if you're looking for more than 600, 700 yards, you're probably thinking about a video game. I don't expect any of those numbers. I expect a leader, a guy who might be an inline blocker a good bit, and a guy who's not going to have to get publicly fired by the mothership for not paying dividends for Monday Night Football. A couple of big national topics. We're leading off with them today, coming at you live from the Taproom River Ranch, and we're about 20 minutes away from Hunt Palmer joining the program. The big news locally, at least as it pertains to LSU baseball, Eric Walker is going to get the start this Sunday in Austin for Palminteri. Jaden Hill's got some arm soreness. He won't throw this weekend. I'll pick Hunt's brain on that and more. All LSU baseball, maybe a little LSU hoops at 4:30. Jeff Horchek will be with us from 5 until 5:30. Knock on wood. And then at 6 o'clock, James Buers, now doing his thing as a prep sports writer for the Acadiana Advocate. Straight up 6 o'clock, we'll talk boys and a little girls, high school playoffs with James Buers. We're out of here today at 6:30. We got to get you to LSU women's basketball. But for the next 2 hours and 18 minutes, stick with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports and we'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, how appropriate is a little Monday Night Football to bring us in here. Yeah, the right tunes. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the right place to be, the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And the reason Clint's playing that, you just tuned in, you didn't hear the end of segment one, Jason Witten coming out of retirement to rejoin the Dallas Cowboys. That means absolutely nothing to me. How about them Cowboys? How about I don't care? I'm a lot more concerned about Monday Night Football. And when I turn the tube on to see how my fantasy week ended, to see how the Saints are doing, because they featured on MNF this season, and I think they're going to be a fixture there again in 2019. I'm more concerned, as a football fanatic, about who's going to be next and who fills the shoes of Jason Witten. So, CD, play a different type of music. Then let's get to the question.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day: who would you like to see replace Jason Witten on Monday Night Football? And I think there are a number of different options you should consider here. And I know Clint is going to give you a couple of different ways that you could slice it here, because CD's got maybe some visions of not having to have a full-time color analyst, but that's a little wacky for me. What I will tell you is this. According to, let's see here, I believe this is Bet Online, their odds to replace Jason Witten. I'll give you this quick rundown, then we'll take your call. 706-0111. As far as what Bet Online is throwing out there, they've got Peyton Manning as the odds on favorite at 2-1. Louis Riddick, 9-4 odds. Greg Olson, 7-2. Kurt Warner at 6-1. Matt Hasselbeck, 9-1. Randy Moss, 14-1. Boomer Esiason and Steve Young, both at 18-1. Timmy Tebow at 33-1. And John Madden, pretty funny, John Madden at 100-1. So I'll give you my take. And again, I'm looking forward to yours as well. Because if I'm going through that Bet Online list, my pick to click is Greg Olson. I think he'd be fantastic. And I know that he's a fairly straight-laced guy. That's his persona. He's been an NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. But let us not forget that Greg Olson has got the U coursing through those veins. This guy was part of some explicit rap videos while playing for Miami football. So I think there's a nice mixture of knowledge, some street cred, and some polish that you're likely to get with Greg Olson. I think that could be entertaining. Plus, unlike some of the guys on this list, he suited up in the league last season. That, to me, has some value to it. As far as the other name that I don't mind from this list, I've always been okay with Steve Young. He's quirky enough. Not everybody agrees with his thoughts, certainly his politics, but Steve Young's got a quirkiness that could keep me engaged. But I'm going to throw one out there that's not on the Bet Online list. And I think this guy's going to end up probably better pegged and getting more offers as an in-studio analyst. But I think he might be able to do the color analyst job. I know he'd be fresh out of the NFL, kind of like Greg Olson. But how about Big Ben Watson? And if you think it's Homer Radio and I'm putting a bid in for a fellow dog that I quite literally shared a campus with in Athens, number one, you're damn right. But number two, tell me that Ben Watson isn't as universally respected as just about anybody that played in the National Football League last year. I think that Ben Watson, who did two tours of duty with the New Orleans Saints, could be a very formidable candidate for that position. Those are just my two cents. Again, we got time for yours. 706-0111. 1-1. CD, while we wait, what say you?
You know, I'm just thinking about it, and I got to wind up going with move up Booger McFarland, because if you're going to wind up having Booger McFarland there as part of Monday Night Football, do not put him on that truss or whatever you want to call it, the Boogermobile, what have you, because it just adds a little too much to it, having you be a four-man group as opposed to being a three-man weave, as we've seen in the past. I think that's probably the magic number. Three is that magic number, so why not give Booger McFarland that spot? He's already part of the Monday Night Football crew. Move him up to the booth.
And, you know, before the segment, Clint floated the idea out that maybe you don't have to have a color analyst, that you can use your lead guy, that you can throw it to a sideline reporter, and you can throw it to Booger McFarland. My only issue with that, considering that I do this for a living, if you're not shoulder to shoulder with somebody who you're doing the play-by-play and the color with, man, it just isn't seamless. And if you watch the Monday Night Football broadcast with Booger on that command tower, the floating command tower, it's not always a seamless transition when they throw it to him. And so I know, football's not like basketball, where it's constant action. You can't have that kind of lag in the exchanges between the two guys, but I still think the game moves quickly enough that you can't have hitches in the giddy-up when you're throwing it from the booth down to Booger. So I don't know about the idea of completely foregoing a color analyst, but the idea of moving up Booger McFarland, CD, that's not completely terrible.
Yeah, because
the lone submission that we've gotten so far on Facebook, I'm not going to say it's terrible, but I think this person is getting paid. Braden B. There we go. I forgot we're not doing last names. Braden B. has thrown out Dave Schultz on Facebook. The question, who would you like to see replace Jason Witten on Monday Night Football? And the only Facebook submission right now is Dave Schultz. So clearly the check is in the mail there to Braden B. Just expand your horizons is all I'm going to suggest to you. The fan club is just going strong there. This guy goes to bed at night and then wakes up in the morning with a Shut Up Dave t-shirt on. There's not a question in my mind. Go ahead, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot more pop up. One of the big ones that's popping up is a couple people bringing up Pat McAfee, who even has mentioned he wants to be a part of this.
Pat McAfee is straight up hilarious. He fits extraordinarily well into a serious XM HBO type of world. If Pat McAfee can be uncensored, he might be the funniest human being on planet Earth talking about sports. And I don't say that lightly. I sometimes think this show would be a lot better if I could say, quite literally, whatever I wanted and use whatever words that I wanted. Still, if Pat McAfee can play it straight-laced enough to work for a company that's owned by Mickey Mouse, then yes, I like Pat McAfee. But I just ran you through some pretty important hurdles there. If he could do it, I'm all about that idea of Pat McAfee. So we've got the question out there. Look at this. This is absolutely unbelievable. I know that Dave is campaigning to win whatever the Daily Advertiser is putting out there, but whatever he's doing, whatever he's putting in the water. So we've got Braden B. on Facebook. Dave Schultz should replace Jason Witten. Doyle B. on Twitter. Dave Schultz. Now he forgot the C in Schultz, but I'm not going to be that a-hole that tells you how to spell. We all know who you're talking about. So everybody thinks that the host of Sports Chat in the morning in Lafayette, Louisiana, needs to be the full-time replacement for Jason Witten. And you know what? It just struck me like a lightning bolt. Y'all don't really want him going that badly, do you? You're wishing Dave to leave so that you don't have to listen to him in the morning? That's wrong of all of you there. So I like the submissions. Let's explore some more. As luck would have it, Dave just walked in. He said win-win. So no question. He's not asking for 13 years, $330 million. I don't know, you know, maybe 1 year, 500,000 would do just fine. That'll pay for all the big cats lab dances. Not a question in my mind. And here I am again, hanging out at a bar, sticking out the hand, Barney Stinson style, and there's just not a single high five to be had. Nobody calling in, okay. But the online suggestions so far, a lot of Dave Schultz and then one Pat McAfee. Clint has said Booger McFarland should get a bump. And I kind of like the idea of Greg Olsen. But if not him, Ben Watson. Basically, if you play tight end in the league this past year and you want to retire, you could probably have that gig. Maybe with a few exceptions. Jimmy Graham, stay away from that gig. But I don't know. I just, there's something about the idea of a hard-nosed tight end that's got some personality behind him that I think could work. And my gut tells me that Olsen and Watson would have a little more of that, if not a lot more of that, than the previous hard-nosed tight end ever had. And, of course, I'm talking about Jason Witten. All right, let's get out now. After I had to beg you to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Keith, who should be the next Jason Witten?
I'm going to throw out a name no one probably thought of. A guy I think is a little on the outside looking in, but Randy Moss. And I say Randy Moss because he can bring that accent. He's funny. And not only that, you know, I compare him to other greats in the NFL just on explaining the details of football. And that's something I look for when listening to these guys, how they explain the ins and outs of and the details of certain plays in a football game.
I wouldn't mind that one bit, Keith. He is he's currently sixth in the running, according to the odds from Bet Online. So Moss certainly is getting some ink in this department. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, I think he should get a shot.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So Keith has weighed in. He's given us Randy Moss. And again, the only five guys that bet online, and yeah, they're taking bets on this. Why not? If you can go in on how long the national anthem at the Super Bowl is going to be, yeah, you should be able to bet on this. Just not in Louisiana. You got to go drive to Biloxi. Boom. Appreciate it. But Peyton Manning, Louis Riddick, Greg Olsen, Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck, the only names that are currently slotted above Randy Moss. But if bet online were Twitter and they could accept hashtag trending names, currently Dave Schultz would be trending for this. If you listen to the show, you know what I'm talking about. All right, let's take a break. When we return, Hunt Palmer and LSU baseball conversation. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, I bet Dave is laughing all the way to the Monday Night Football Bank. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Sure, that's the iconic laugh of our morning host, Dave Schultz, who currently is receiving more votes via Facebook and Twitter. I asked the question, who should replace Jason Witten, color analyst, Monday Night Football. Right now we've got like three Dave Schultz votes and two for Peyton Manning. 2019 is a weird place. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. It's time for Hunt Palmer. Hoops with Hunt. It's the basketball podcast. Outside the Box with Charlie Handergriff, the baseball podcast. And you find them both 104.5ESPN.com. How are you, Hunt?
I'm very well, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm curious exactly how Jaden Hill is doing. We've learned that he's got some arm soreness. He won't throw this weekend. The good news is Eric Walker is going to take his place on Sunday and get some run. But your thoughts on Jaden Hill? Is this his early season precaution?
Well, I mean, I think it is a little bit cautious, but it's getting frustrating. It was entire year last year, the entire fall, just one arm after the other. It just doesn't feel well. And Jaden Hill was actually the guy in the fall that actually felt great the whole time and was able to pitch throughout the entire fall. And obviously was able to get ready to go for the season and has pitched so well for 2 weeks and then all of a sudden wakes up on Monday and doesn't feel very well. So hopefully it's not anything serious and he just needs a week off and can get back after it next week. But it's just really disheartening because you can't keep people healthy. You're not going to be able to compete for the goals that this team has. And right now they need Jaden Hill to be part of this thing, and he obviously isn't going to be this weekend.
The flip side, as I referred to, Eric Walker, will take his place, start Sunday. This is a guy who grew up in Texas. I believe he's pitched in that stadium before in Austin, so good for him. He threw two innings last night. Not sure what you were able to decipher from that, but I guess your thoughts in general about Walker and his trajectory.
I thought he looked pretty good last night. I mean, facing a real bad team. I mean, Southern's bad. There's no two ways about that. But he threw strikes, got a swing and miss on a changeup for a strike three. The fastball was 85, 86, which is is slow by college baseball standards, but he's effective there. So his arm feels good. I think they are hoping to get 4 or 5 innings out of him. That's probably about a max for him right now. It'll be great to see him kind of extend and see what he can do against a big-time lineup, which Texas has. And this is a team that's in the top 25, a program that went to Omaha last year, got a nice break in the Super Regional to get there, but got to Omaha, and is a quality club. So this will be a great measuring stick for everybody on LSU's roster, including Eric Walker.
Hunt Palmer, our guest on 103.7 The Game. If you want to catch any of his really awesome tweets or those podcasts that I mentioned, follow him at HuntPalmer88. Give me a little bit more on the Texas Longhorns. And Hunt, Cajun fans here in the Hub City will be familiar. They were at the Teague for 3 games to open the season. But in terms of pitching, I know they started over a good bit from what was a good team last year. What do you know about them on the mound?
Yeah, lost their top two from the weekend rotation, a couple of premium arms that LSU actually fared pretty well against, and are mixing some younger guys in there. Threw it pretty well, I thought, in Lafayette, and won those first 2 games, obviously, and you all came back and won game 3, took 3 out of 4 from Purdue. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've watched a ton of Texas baseball and can tell you who throws what, but I do know that David Pierce is a really respected pitching coach, and that they've got a ton of resources to recruit there. So LSU is going to see very much SEC-level arms this weekend from start to finish, and we'll see just how ready some of these bats are. We know about Watson and Duplantis and Cabrera. We know those guys can hit. But let's see what Cade Beloso can do against a staff full of power arms. Let's see how Saul Garza steps up against D1 pitching. We know what he can do against junior college pitching. Let's see what he can do against these guys. It'll be interesting just to kind of see where LSU stands at this point in the season.
Brother, I'm really glad you mentioned Cade Beloso. I wanted to go there next. Is that going to be his job for the foreseeable future at first base?
I think right now he's the best option. I don't think Drew Bianco's day is done. Unfortunate for Gavin Dugas that he got injured and he'll be out for a little bit of time now, but I don't think that he's just going to give the entire key of the reins to Cade Beloso, but he has potentially earned that. I mean, if he continues to swing the bat the way he has, he will win that spot because he's just been awesome. Hasn't struck out yet, driven a couple out of the yard, hitting the ball to all fields, which I was not certain he was ready to do, but he certainly has. He's been really impressive with the bat. Now, Palmieri has shied away from big, powerful, left-handed first baseman because if they tear up 84 to 87 in high school, and then it turns into 91 to 94 in college, and they can't hit it, they can't help you at all. They can't come in and play any defensive spots. They can't come in and pinch run. They don't provide anything. But Cade Beloso is one of those guys who is a hitter, and right now he's hitting, which is very encouraging.
One more in LSU baseball, and then we'll talk a little bit about Will Wade's team on the hardwood. The 6-out save for Todd Peterson Sunday, was that a glimpse into what they may ask him to do with a little more regularity if needed come SEC play, or is that kind of an irregular, once-in-a-while affair?
I don't know that you'll see it a ton on Friday, but if you haven't seen him the first 2 games of the weekend and LSU's got a tight game and the rest of the guys have pitched out of the bullpen earlier, absolutely. We know he can throw 2 innings. He started out for 2 years as a starting pitcher in the program, and he's extended to 5-6 innings before, and he can do that. So, yeah, 6 outs is not more than he can handle. And if the LSU's in a spot on Sunday where they've got a tight lead and 6 outs left, I think absolutely you'll see him. But again, I think on a Friday, I think you'll see back and you'll see Fontenot in front of him, and then potentially see Peterson there for the night.
All right, go hypothetical to finish up with me here, Hunt. We're talking LSU basketball. If they win 2 out of the next 3, and then let's say they win a game or 2, they don't win the SEC tournament, but they make it at least out of that quarterfinal round. Let's say they get to the semis. Is that a team that would have a resume where you have to consider them getting to the 2 line, or is a 3 seed maybe as high as they can climb?
In that scenario, where they lose 2 more games, I think the 3 seed is as high as they would go. I think if you were able to win 2 out of 3 to finish and then go win the SEC tournament, including a win over Kentucky in the final or something, I think a 2 is realistic. Right now, Dylan Nardi's got him as a 4. Derek Palm's got him as a 3. I ran the resumes this morning of kind of some teams who are jockeying on that 3-4 line. And if the committee is telling the truth and Quadrant 1 wins and road wins are as important as we think they are, LSU's resume stacks up incredibly well against everybody, against Marquette and against Let's see, Purdue, and I mean, I think Houston is the one team that I would give the nod over LSU. Houston's 27-1 and beat LSU. Now they're only 4-1 against Quadrant One, and LSU's 8-2. But I still think Houston's probably above LSU on the seeding line. But the rest of the teams that I was looking at, I favor LSU over those teams. So I think right now they're sitting on the 3 line. You could move up to a 2 if you really play well down the stretch, win a couple of Quadrant One games on the road against Alabama and Florida, and get another big win in the SEC tournament. But I think right now you're looking at 2 at 3 and 4 more realistically.
Hunt Palmer, and man, you're so efficient. You've left me a little more time, so I'll bounce you one more in LSU basketball. Any concern for you long-term about whatever's going on with Trey Waters? I just have a hard time buying that this is a long-term illness as opposed to an injury. Again, I don't know anything there, but any concern for you as they get to the end of SEC regular season play with that?
A little bit. I've never seen anybody sick for a whole week either and missing games. But I don't know anything. So they say he's going to be ready to roll on Saturday. We'll see how many minutes he gives him. Is this a deal where he's ready to roll on Saturday, but he can only give you 12 minutes to come off the bench? Or is this he's ready to roll and he goes out there and he starts and gives you 34 minutes? I don't know. So we'll see. We'll learn a little bit more about that on Saturday. My biggest concern about this team right now is their three-point shooting. They're just awful from the three-point line and have been since the first 3 games of SEC play. And they're great at driving the ball. They're great on the offensive glass. They're great from the free-throw line. And they've scored enough points to beat some really good teams shooting the ball poorly. But I just feel like in the NCAA tournament, to make a really deep run, you're going to have to make some shots, and they're not doing that.
He's podcasting guru Hunt Palmer. All of his work, 1045ESPN.com. Hunt, thanks again. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, Ben. Have a good one, man. Thanks.
Just smooth, right? I mean, he knows what the hell he's talking about, and that's a pretty important part of it, but just as smooth as you'd like. So Hunt goes in on LSU baseball, LSU basketball. We'll take your responses on the other side. Plus, our two big national storylines of the day. Bryce Harper, 13-year, $330 million deal with the Phillies. You like, you dislike for the 26-year-old and for the franchise. And what do you make out of Jason Witten parting ways with Monday Night Football and heading back to the Dallas Cowboys for a 16th season? All those topics and more on the table. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
.1037 The Game is Acadiana Sports Station, and we go wherever you go with the free .1037 The Game mobile app.
The app has me connected all the time.
Catch the live stream anytime or listen on demand to all of your favorite live and local shows.
Download the app.
The .1037 The Game mobile app keeps you connected to all our blocks and the Clubhouse Rewards Club, where you can win spectacular prizes.
Play clock at 2.
Download the free .1037 The Game mobile app today. Presented by Visit Avery Island.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, and apparently nobody told the Toronto Blue Jays, hey, this is Bryce Harper Day. About 20 minutes ago, it was announced that the Blue Jays are in agreement with free agent reliever Bud Norris. Take that, Philly. That's how you do free agency, I guess. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and I know we're right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Jeff Horchek, he'll be with us. You can watch him in the mornings. You probably do. Pospot 2, and then again, middays on KLFY. And then James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate to talk preps on the basketball side, girls and boys, into the playoffs. A lot of the girls are getting to their finals, and the boys, they'll have quarterfinals tomorrow night. So James Buers will be with us at 6 o'clock. That means if you want to get a call in, I highly recommend right about now, 706-0111. Any of the LSU baseball or basketball topics we just explored with Hunt Palmer. You can respond. Your sink or swim question of the day, answer. Who would you like to see replace Jason Witten as Monday Night Football color analyst? I think Dave Schultz is still in the lead right now. And we'll go to the tape here. Let's see on Facebook. Some of the responses that we haven't gotten to yet. Jonathan says, literally anybody. Well, he's not wrong. It's like the opposite of the Brewster's Millions approach, right? Instead of none of the above, just give me a talking head. Literally anybody, as opposed to Jason Witten. Thank you. Tim says, put Booga in the booth. All right, so he's siding with Clint Domingue there. Kelly says, Dave Schultz or Peyton Manning. That is a it's not a sentence. I guess that is a multiple choice quiz that I never thought I would get. I mean, seriously, no matter what the question was, I never thought that I would get answer A, Dave Schultz, answer B, Peyton Manning, C, both of the above, D, either of the above. So Kelly is going with D, either of the above would be fine, Dave Schultz or Peyton Manning. Kevin says Greg Olsen or Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if Marshawn's ready to talk as much as they'll need him there. But he won't be fined for talking. This time he'll be paid. That part's good. Grant says Breeze would be awesome. Yeah, but chill, B. He's needed for at least one more season. I get it. He'd be good there. Frankly, I think he'll be in line to be more of a business mogul, maybe a politician one day. But, yeah, clearly Breeze would be good in that role. Lynette, Pat McAfee would be awesome. Won't happen, though. Completely agree with that take. I'd love it if it did happen. And if he were allowed to say basically anything that came to his mind, like he does when he podcasts, it would be a slam dunk. Not the way that it works when you work for the Mickey Mouse Network. Chad says, Randy Moss, LT, or Deion Sanders. I'll take Randy out of that trio personally. Tyler says, Tony Dungy. Hadn't thought about that one. I might like a little bit more pizzazz than what Tony brings to the table, but in terms of knowledge, he'd be dynamite. And then Jamie says, Tony Gonzalez. All right, Clint, there's a smorgasbord for you. Anything that you heard there, I'm not going to ask you if it changes your mind from elevating Anthony Booga McFarland, but any of those names that you like more than the other as far as other replacement options?
I mean, you can't go wrong with Peyton Manning. I think he'd be a great personality for the program, don't get me wrong. But that last one you brought up, Tony Gonzalez, that perked my ears up a little bit. It was more like, wait, Tony Gonzalez, that's who you have in mind? Is this person an Atlanta Falcons fan? That's my question.
Tony Gonzalez played like the vast majority of his career for the Kansas City Chiefs. Where in the world did you come up with Atlanta Falcons there?
No, that was the tail end of his career, so that's what
that
I remember.
That would be like saying, you know what? You suggested Joe Montana for this. What are you, a Kansas City Chiefs fan? That's what that would be like. I just don't know how your mind leapt there. It's a very mysterious space, Clint. I don't know how you keep all that in order up there, but that was – you caught me off guard there. I'm sorry.
Just like I got caught off guard with Tony Gonzalez doing commentary.
That's fair. It's all fair. That just threw me off. What are you, a Falcons fan? What? It's like saying Joe Namath. What are you, a Chargers fan? What? Let's get out. Let's break this up. Let's get to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, what you got for us, my friend?
Oh, I'd like to see Laura Rutledge.
Okay, so now we have to define terms, because if you want her on the broadcast, I get that. But sideline reporter or color analyst? Because I don't think she fits the bill of color analyst. I'm not saying she couldn't do it, but I don't think that she would be as good at that as she clearly is as a sideline reporter. And I think Laura does a really good job as a studio kind of setup person as well for the different analysts. Anchor, I guess you would say. But I don't know about color analyst for her, T. I don't know.
Now, I just want to see on TV. It doesn't matter what she does. I just like her.
T, you know what? When you're right, you're right. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks, man.
I love it. Just put her on TV more. That's fair. That's fair. In a lot of ways, she's become kind of the new age, in my opinion, Aaron Andrews. But I think what Laura brings to the table is pretty exceptional. I mean, obviously, good-looking enough to fill the part. I completely understand. But I think her analysis and I think the way that she kind of can bring in coaches, players, analyst with the types of questions that she asks, I think she's very well prepared. So yeah, I like Lauren in a lot of different roles. I just don't know about color analyst. All right, Clint, now this one's going up your alley. It's not Tony Gonzalez with the Atlanta Falcons. It's Joe Rogan, a text submission to the program. Joe does pretty awesome stuff for UFC from the few times that I've actually dabbled in that arena. He's clearly hilarious. Does that transition to football? I guess if Dennis Miller could do it, Joe Rogan can.
Like Joe Rogan, it's a lot like Pat McAfee. I feel like he's better served towards his particular sport, UFC, as opposed to the NFL. And also, he's a guy that definitely has the ability to kind of do whatever he wants. If he did like a sideline report and was doing interviews with the coaches at halftime, I think that'd be great because he's really good at that, especially during the post-fight interviews for UFC. I like the idea of it, though. I'll say that.
Every time I hear or see that name, all I want to do is go into complete Chappelle Show mode, where he's the crack addict. Let me tell you something, Joe Rogan. But I won't say the end of it. It's a family-friendly show. But all I ever think of when I hear Joe Rogan is Dave Chappelle doing that bit. And I'm still laughing. And it's been like 15 years since that episode probably came out. Enough of that. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Doc, thank you for waiting. Who should be next on Monday Night Football?
What about Ryan Clark? I mean, he's kind of got a he's got his little spiels that he does with the Clark things or whatever. I think he's got a great personality, knows the game, and I think he would work well with Booger.
So let me ask you this question before I give my opinion on that. I know you call the program, Doc, and you say you only consume an hour of sports a day. That was a conversation we had months ago. So did you hear my show yesterday where
we talked? No,
I won't. But Ryan Clark was a topic on this show yesterday. Any chance you caught that?
I did. A brief, shall we say, a limited time that I listened to the show. And, sports time, yes, I did.
I'm taking that hour and just blowing it out of the water. All right, so, Doc, I'm gonna refresh our listeners and then give my take there. But Ryan Clark's a good suggestion. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you, my man.
Well, you know, Ben, going back, the whole Alabama thing, Alabama versus NCAA, I did want to comment on that. I would say if Alabama was a regular beatdown, I would take that over the NCAA, but I would go with the NCAA going forward, too.
You know, okay, in my limited time. Yeah, I'm with you. No, Doc, I appreciate it. I do. We got another call coming, then I got to get a final word. You know, it's the whole thing. But Doc's exploring a lot there. Number one, we talked about Ryan Clark yesterday. His partner in crime, Mac Chiwilli, at Traction Sports in Baton Rouge, said he thinks he'll go into coaching soon. His kid just got to college at Arizona State. Maybe it's not time just yet. But I think Ryan Clark is phenomenal in his analysis on the mothership. And then Doc also answered a question from earlier this week. Beating Alabama football for LSU or the Tigers going to the Final Four, which would make you happier? So thank you, Doc. All right, let's get back to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ralph, I've got 45 seconds. They're yours.
All right, buddy. I don't know what the buyout on his contract would be, but I'd love to see Tony Romo come over to Monday Night Football. I just think he's phenomenal in his analysis, and I think he'd be a great fit. That's it, man.
Ralph, you're the man. And here's my only take on Romo in that spot. Are we sure he doesn't already have a better gig? I mean, seriously, the Monday Night Football thing with the travel, knowing that you're working probably through the weekend to get your prep work for that show done, you're working well into Monday night, basically Tuesday morning, might be a little more of a stunted lifestyle. Tony's currently working a game where he can come into town, I would imagine, on a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday mid-afternoon. He works Sunday afternoon. He's out of there before sundown on Sunday. I'm not sure he doesn't already have a better gig working with Jim Nance, just thinking out loud here. All right, CD, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Engaging. Open Doors is the name of a company that just released its top 10 most engaging players in baseball during the offseason, and in all of the MLB, Alex Bregman is the most engaging player. 4.29 million engagements on social media. That is impressive. It's also the final word of the hour. We're coming right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Never miss a show or interview again. Just go to the on-demand section of 103.7thegame.com or download the 103.7 The Game mobile app right now.
interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. I'll be joined momentarily by Jeff Horchek, KLFY. And, yes, his dog Trooper is in the building. We'll get to test out the theory that he's meant for radio. We know he's good on TV, but we'll check out Trooper on radio later this hour. Don't forget, James Buers will be with us straight up 6 o'clock. Boys and girls prep basketball playoffs. We'll be talking all about it, throwing a little shade later, and we might just have to get to Kyler Murray's measurables, but probably not in the way you're thinking. Today's news from the NFL Scouting Combine. But right now, our pleasure to bring back in Jeff Horchek. You watch him mornings, KLFY, the show, Pospot 2, middays as well. Jeff, good to have you back, man. How the heck are you?
Good, man. Sorry about last week. I took a nap, and when I woke up, it was like 5:25, man. I apologize. It was one of those days, and so I made sure that didn't happen today.
Look, it's all good. You show up wearing the Houston Astros, the old-school Stros hat. I like that. Trooper is here. So tell me a little bit about your dog, because he's been into the studios before when you've hosted at Acadiana Sports Station. He makes his picks Fridays. Mm-hmm. How did he do picking college and pro games this year?
Well, he mainly just stuck with the Saints this year.
It's a good move.
Yeah, we went right up to the Super Bowl, and of course he was not happy with who was in the Super Bowl, like a lot of people. But he ended up finishing, I think, he was above 500. I think he was like 13-11, something like that. So he picked pretty well. He had fun with it, and we had fun with it. You know, it's funny, Ben, because there were people that actually called up the station that were mad at him on his picks, because you know he didn't always pick the Saints. I mean, he picked against them.
People are mad at a dog.
Yeah. He picked Dallas to beat New Orleans, which happened.
Which he was right.
And people were like, "I can't believe your dog." I'm like, "Dude, he sits and watches every game with me. He knows his stuff. Don't discount Trooper's football intellect."
We got a guy that comes on this show Wednesdays during football season. The segment's called Spreadheads. Mm-hmm. He's Cousin Dino. I'm going to tell you right now that Trooper had a better NFL season than Cousin Dino did.
That's funny,
right? And one of them is basically as Guido as they come, and the other's Trooper. So kudos to Trooper there.
Well, Trooper, like I said, he's been watching football with me since he was just a pup. And I like to think that he's picked up a few things, you know, over the years watching me. And this year, you know, he held his own. I didn't know how he would respond to getting up that early. But, you know, what's funny is on Friday's game a week, he was up and at him. I'd say, all right, Troop, let's go. And he'd be at the front door. So it's like he knew that this was the morning he was going to go on. He'd stay in the studio, walk around, follow me as I – moved from different monitor, and really, we enjoyed it. He was kind of like the station mascot this year, so it was a success, I'd say, Ben.
As good a time as any to remind our listeners, you come to the Taproom River Ranch, absolutely, they're dog-friendly. Right now, Trooper's one of two here. I think we got a boxer that's with us as well. Good-looking dog, too, so got a couple of them here. Whole lot of people crowded for the 5 o'clock hour. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Jeff, I'm going to lob one your way.
Okay.
The big national story of the day, Bryce Harper signs a deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. How about 13 years, $330 million? Forget that it's the Phillies. Forget that it's Bryce Harper. Would you ever pay anybody that much money if you were an owner GM for a baseball team?
I'm not surprised that Bryce got that type of money because he is a unique power hitter. But, it makes me wonder, Ben. I mean, are the Phillies going to have any money for pitchers? Because let's be honest, I mean, you got to have pitching when you get to the postseason, and they've dumped all their money into Bryce. So, and he's a great talent, but it's scary, but I'm not surprised, you know, because of the going rate and then seeing what what's-his-face got with the Padres.
Manny Machado.
Yeah, Manny Machado. I'm not surprised. You knew that Harper was going to try to top that.
Earlier this week, Nolan Arenado for the Colorado Rockies, his annual rate blows Bryce Harper's out of the water, which is mind-blowing. 33-plus million a season, man.
It's really – crazy to think what these guys are getting. But, you know, you see it in the NFL with quarterbacks. I mean, every year another guy, a franchise quarterback, tops the guy from the previous year. So it's the same thing in baseball. I mean, the owners are willing to pay it, and the numbers keep going up. And like I said, Bryce is a unique talent. I mean, we saw it when he was coming out of high school, and then I think he played, what, 1 year of JUCO ball, because I don't think he even played his senior year, and then got drafted number one overall, and seemed like within about a season he was up in the bigs. Yeah. He moved quick. So he's a rare talent, but, man, it's a lot of money, isn't it, for one guy?
So, by the way, to answer one of the points you brought up, because I think you're absolutely right, I don't think they're going to be able to afford – I know they're not going to be able to afford depth of quality pitching. They won't have, for example, what the Astros had last year. But they did extend a local kid from Baton Rouge about 15 days ago, Aaron Nola from LSU, 4 years, $45 million. But even still, none of that's in the ballpark of what you'd have to do to go out and get some of the real big names from around the league to join him. So Nola's going to be a little bit of a one-man gang on the mound.
Yeah, it's that's the thing we've learned about baseball in the postseason, that you need hitters, obviously, but you've got to have the arms. You know, if you're going to make a deep run of the World Series, and that's what worries me about the Phillies is, yeah, they've got Bryce Harper. He's going to be fun to watch, and he's going to knock some balls over the wall, but you better have some arms come postseason. So we'll see if it catches up to him. Maybe they'll have some guys step up this year we didn't expect, and they'll be able to be right there in the end. But that is a lot of money to pour into one guy.
As far as the other big storyline nationally, and this is something you'll relate to. I mean, you've done radio. Obviously, you do TV regularly. Jason Witten. He's coming out of retirement. He's going to play for the Cowboys. And I think this is all about maybe Monday Night Football kind of politely allowing him to exit without having to fire him. I don't think that went terribly well for him. That's my opinion. Before we jump into the Cowboys part of it, do you agree with that? What did you think about Witten as a color analyst?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are comparing him to his quarterback, Tony Romo, who's gotten a lot of positive feedback. And I think Tony does a great job. Witten, I thought, did a solid job. I think it's just that Witten has a totally different personality than Romo. Witten is more reserved, a little more quiet. He's not as bombastic verbally as Tony is. And so it's not fair to compare him because they do have different personalities. But I thought he did a solid job. You know, I don't know all the details on why he decided to come out of retirement. But I will say that maybe, just maybe, after that experience, it wasn't what he thought. And then he figured, hey, I still have my health. I'm not crippled to where I can't play. Maybe we'll make one more run because this Dallas team is going to be one of the better teams in the NFC next year. One more year, and then after that, call quits. But it is odd, Ben, that when you see a guy as talented as Witten is and have the fanfare he did when he had the press conference to retire, that a guy after 1 year comes back. But I have a feeling that he's staying in contact with Garrett, and maybe Garrett was working on him, just gauging to see, and maybe he wasn't woed by broadcast. So he said, you know, hey, 1 year deal, let's see. So I can't blame Jason. I think also Jason Witten is such a leader in the locker room.
Agreed.
That even if he's not putting up these gaudy numbers next year, he adds a lot to that team when it comes, because he's the one steady that the Cowboys have had for years. You knew you could count on Jason Witten because they've had so many questionable guys with attitudes and character, and you knew Witten was there. So I think that leadership also adds a lot more to that team, other than just his ability on the field. Even if he is 36 and he's over the hill as far as, you know, maybe his physical talent, he's such a leader, a positive leader, you know.
Ben Love joined by Jeff Horchek, KLFY. Come join us if you get a chance. I know, drizzling, raining outside. Come into the Tap Room River Ranch or call in if you'd like, 706-0111. I'm going to show this to you and get your take. Bet Online has given really their top 10 to replace Jason Witten. Can't imagine John Madden at the bottom, 100-1 is a realistic possibility. But do any of those other names intrigue you?
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, I've always been a big Kurt Warner fan. He's very, very good on TV, very verbal. I could see him, you know, being in there. Obviously, Peyton Manning could pretty much do whatever he wants to do. But I don't know. I kind of feel like Peyton would have already made a move in broadcast if he was really interested. But you never know. You never know. So I think Peyton and Warner. And I've really been impressed with Randy Moss. I think he's done a great job, better than I thought he would. So those are three guys I could see possibly.
We've already had a caller to the show say that exact same thing, that Randy, the personality, the experience, knowing what defense they're going to do, and this guy kind of liked the twang, said it might throw a little different sound into the broadcast.
Yeah, he's West Virginia through and through, man. I've always been a big, big Randy fan. When I was in high school, I got to see him play, and what a talent. But
so,
yeah.
So wait a minute. Hold on. Huh? We've done this now for about a month and a half, and you never shared with me. Did you watch him play football or basketball?
I saw him in person play basketball, but, I mean, he was Mr. Basketball, Mr. Football, and Mr. Baseball at West Virginia all in the same year.
So you watched, presumably, you watched Randy Moss and White Chocolate Jason Williams played basketball together in West Virginia.
I've got a story. I'll tell you in the break afterwards a story. And when I saw Randy and mentioned that to him later, I'll save that for later. But yeah, I did. That absolute beast. Those two guys were they were. I didn't know if I knew Randy was going to play professionally. I wasn't sure about Jason Williams, but both of them made it to the top and came out of a DuPont High where they went was a triple-A school. They only have single-A, double-A, and triple-A in West Virginia, so it was the biggest of classifications, but they don't even have that high school anymore. They've turned into a middle school now because the population there has gone down with the coal mines going down. It's a very rural, backwoods area. But Randy, Jerry West prior to Randy was considered the best athlete ever to come out of West Virginia, but, I mean, Randy Moss was just a freak talent. I mean, that's his nickname, freak. But, yeah, just a man among boys when he was in high school on the basketball court, baseball field, football field, just unbelievable. Yeah. So we'll talk. I'll tell you a story about him in the next break. I want to hook people on for that. But, yeah.
I'm digging it. All right, we will take that break. Come right back in. We got plenty of time left with Jeff Horchek. That means you need to stay tuned. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Good crowd here at the Tap Room River Ranch, and that includes a great guest. And he joins me for another segment, Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, Horchek of KLFY, for another 10 minutes or so. You want to weigh in? You want to talk to Jeff? Be our Huckleberry, 706-0111. If you want to talk to Trooper, I'm going to have to get Jeff to translate that, but we'll do our best. So you just relayed a story to me that Randy Moss as a junior in high school, Jason Williams, white chocolate, as a senior in high school, lost in the AAA state championship basketball game in the state of West Virginia. How did that team ever lose?
Yeah, well, that's what we want to know. They played Martinsburg High School, and my high school, Bridgeport, was really good in basketball. We were a double-A school, so we'd go down to Charleston and play, and that's when I got to see him. But so Randy was, when he was with the Raiders, he came to DeRidder for a football camp put on by Willie Brown, the former corner great for the Raiders, whose wife used to be from DeRidder. And so I went out there to cover that when I was up in Alexandria, and Randy was out there. So after the camp, I talked to him, interviewed him, and I said, Randy, how did you lose the AAA state basketball championship to Martinsburg your junior year? And he kind of looked at me and like paused, and he goes, we did, you're right. I said, yeah, how, with you and Jason Williams? He goes, that's a good question. So and I interviewed him again at the Super Bowl in New Orleans when he was with the 49ers. You know, obviously played in a couple Super Bowls but never won one. He was Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball, and Mr. Baseball in West Virginia. I mean, just a tremendous athlete. You know, he was a man among boys. As a lot of your elite athletes are, like when I covered Adrian Peterson in high school too in East Texas. Same thing, just dominate. And you knew that if he kept his nose clean, he'd probably, you know, be in the pros. But to have two guys like that on the same high school in a small area. I mean, that's a very rural, backwoods part of West Virginia. Is something else. You know, they came out of that same high school. They actually grew up together. I mean, they played peewee football against each other, because I heard Randy say when Jason, like, ran all over him in peewee football playing quarterback, because Jason was the quarterback, and then once they got to high school, and Randy's like, this little cocky little dude did dance and all that, and then eventually they went to the same high school and teamed up. But they played in a small gym, and you had to get there, hours before in order to get a seat, because it would pack up quick. They put on a show, man. I mean, they were – to get two guys that talented to come out of that small area was unique. But they both made it to the big time and made a living and did well. It's pretty amazing to think they both came out of there. West Virginia's had some athletes come out. It's a small state, but those two were definitely two of the best.
I love that story. And, of course, those just tuning in, it comes from the idea – with Jason Witten departing Monday Night Football, we're discussing who might be the next choice as color analyst on MNF. And the idea of Randy Moss, I think, is a pretty stellar one. And I'll tell you, the two takeaways I have, if I can go in the Wayback Machine from your story, I want to see Randy Moss play baseball, and I want to see Jason Williams play quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the two that we don't often associate. I can visually picture Randy Moss playing basketball, and I've seen some of those clips from high school. So I could picture and kind of conceive a lot of it. But Randy playing baseball, you might have to indulge me a little bit more there. Where?
Well, he actually had some big league scouts looking at him, too. Obviously, he's just an athlete. He had an arm. I mean, he would throw guys out from the outfield, too. You know, you're a great athlete. I mean, he probably could have played Division I baseball, basketball, and football. It was that good. Now, obviously, he had to juggle a lot of things, but I think talent-wise, he was good enough. And, you know, he ended up at Marshall eventually after he got kicked out of Florida State for flunking the drug test. And Notre Dame was where he wanted to go, too. One of his teammates in high school went to Notre Dame. But he's just a rare 1-in-100-year athlete, kind of like a Bo Jackson. You know, you see him come around, you go, my goodness. And that's kind of how he was, just dominated at the high school level. And then even at the college level, I mean, Randy was just a tremendous talent. You know, and if you think about it, Ben, in the NFL, how many routes did he run? He ran the one right down the sideline, just throw it up, I'll catch it. I always joke around with his playing, I'm like, shoot, just throw it up, I'll catch it, and how he talks. He'd run down the sideline, just throw the bomb, and he'd catch that. And he'd run over the middle some. But he maybe ran two or three routes his whole career and went, is going to Canton on that, you know? That's how incredible. Talented he was.
Incredible. All right, the other big topic of the day is this Bryce Harper trade. Okay, we touched on that, or free agency signing. They've also got the NFL scouting combine going on. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I agree, we don't care about Kyler Murray being 5'10 and 1/8 inches. We just don't care about that. But let's relate it to the Saints. Not even concerned about a player.
Mm-hmm.
But we know they don't have a first-round pick right now. They've got a second and then I believe a fourth. What position would you like to see them hone in on to improve an already spectacular roster? How can the Saints get better through the draft? What position?
Well, I really think they need to look for a tight end. Speaking of tight ends, you know, if they can find a guy like Jason Witten in the draft, that'd be good. You know, they need a tight end. They need a big threat over the middle, take the heat off of Michael Thomas, give Drew a safety blanket. I mean, Ben Watson, you know, was aging the last few years. He's now retired. Obviously, they stole Jimmy Graham in the third round years ago. If they could find another diamond in the rough like that, that would be huge. This is a pretty decent draft, I hear, for tight ends. I was looking down the list of prospects. So they can probably get a decent one with that their first pick, which is, what, the second round.
It's either, and Clint will correct me here, he's good about that. It'll either be second and third what they have or second and fourth.
Yeah.
But they don't have picks in two of the top four rounds.
Yeah.
That I remember.
I think they only currently have two draft picks right now. Is that correct?
No, they've got a few more rounds. But, yeah.
But they could make some moves to pick up more draft picks, too, at some point. We'll see. But I think tight end, obviously, need to look for a tight end there somewhere. And then I don't think you can have enough depth on the defensive line. I mean, we don't know how long what's his face is going to be back. I'm getting a blank right now. The big defensive end from Louisville that they Rankins.
Oh,
they
yes.
don't know how Rankins is going to be long. Rankins is going to be
good
out.
Point.
So we need some depth there, and you can never have enough defensive linemen to rotate in. And then I don't think you can ever have enough corners either. I mean, even though you know Lattimore is, it looks like he's got that one side shown firmed up. The other side, I mean, so you know, and then obviously they need a quarterback at some point. But I don't think they're going to draft somebody high.
You're a mind reader. It's exactly what I was going to ask you next, because I think it's time to solidify an already great roster with needs right away.
Yeah.
But how do they and when do they pull the trigger on trying to find Drew's replacement? And part of when I say how is going to be free agency more likely?
Yeah. I mean, it makes you wonder. I mean, I've kept saying, well, you know, how much longer are they going to go before they know they got to get a guy to bring in to be the heir apparent to groom? Or are they going to just, when Drew says that's it, they're going to, at that point, they realize every team handles that differently, unless they're in love with the quarterback in the draft, unless there's some guy that just really, really gets them excited. I don't know. I mean, you never know with Sean Payton. Obviously, he considers himself a quarterback guru, a guy that can develop quarterbacks. If you look back at the years he's been the Saints coach, how many quarterbacks has he drafted? I can only think of the one from Colorado State, Garrett Grayson. That's the only one, right? I think it's the only one that he's drafted.
I think you're right.
Everybody else he's picked up either through free agency. So Garrett Grayson's the only one. He didn't pan out. So that's what I'm saying. They've really stayed away from drafting quarterbacks. Not to say that they won't draft one, but in a year when you don't have many picks, do you do that?
I don't think Taysom Hill counts in that department.
No, because they signed him. Remember, he was a Green Bay, and they signed him.
That's
so
right.
They I believe they've only drafted one quarterback under Sean Payton's reign. So
wow.
We'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. Unless there's one guy that intrigues them, Do they go another year without that? Are they looking for free agency at some point? I don't know. That's the position that everybody covets, and it's hard to find the guy, but we'll see.
So here we go from Clint, and I was wrong here. I thought they had either a third or a fourth, but according to what Clint's sending me, the Saints are picking in the second, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds
okay,
this year.
Picks.
So a total
okay.
of four picks, but only one in the first four
yeah,
rounds.
Not
Boy,
many.
They need to hit on that second, and it wouldn't be a bad idea if they could package up some of those back end picks and make it into a third or a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad deal. All right, we're about to run out of real estate. What's coming up tomorrow morning and going forward? KLFY, Passepartout.
Well, weather and Mardi Gras parades, obviously, that's the big talk is that how's the weather going to be? It's going to rain this weekend. We hear now Tuesday we're hearing Fat Tuesday. It's going to be cool,
okay.
but no rain, so that'll be good. You got a lot of people going also to New Orleans for Mardi Gras this weekend, so that's the big topic that we'll be discussing, getting you ready for these the final push to Fat Tuesday here in Acadiana.
I love it. Jeff, you know I appreciate you coming, and Trooper as well.
Yes.
He said the Saints winning the Super Bowl this year. I heard it in a break, and so we're floating out there now. Don't call us. Don't call KLFY. Just deal with it. Trooper's right, and you're probably wrong.
Hey, we'll give it to him. Hopefully you don't leave it up to the officials this year, right? You win the game outright, and everybody will be happy, and we'll see. But thanks for having us on. Trooper's enjoying. I've got a few snacks here for him so he can enjoy the rest of the night. Always good to have a few snacks for my boy, you know?
Perfect. And so, really, it's a three-man weave. Ben, Jeff, and Trooper. We'll be right back in. Time to throw a little bit of shade. And, yeah, the whole Kyler Murray height thing, it might just come up. Plus something hilarious that happened with Anthony Davis last night. At least to me, it's funny. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports
on 103.7 The Game.
Back from break, and I'm thrilled to be able to give you a follow-up. A report on yesterday's edition of Throwing Shade. Just wait. I think you'll get a little chuckle out of it, too. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. I'll give you the update. I'll give you today's shade, but we've got time over the next 30 minutes to take your phone calls before James Buers joins us. We'll talk prep playoff basketball. A little girls, little boys, and we'll get you ready for what's coming next week in Lake Chuck for the boys. Whenever you want to dial in, hit us up, 706-0111. Clint, you will recall that yesterday, Mike Giardi, NFL Network, he pulled a Steve Levy, and he tried to describe what was a bulging disc for a player that was participating in the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. And just like our guy from A Christmas Story, but I didn't say fudge, but he didn't say disc. Here's your update, Clint. I don't know if you even saw this. You spent a lot of time on Twitter, you might have. Actual Steve Levy, late yesterday evening, tweeted out the following. So it has been brought to my attention that another professional broadcaster has slipped up on the old bulging disc deal. I'd like to welcome at Mike Giardi to the fam. Clint, you know that's good.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. I actually hadn't seen that, but that's just some fantastic stuff right there from Steve Levy. At least he's staring into the skin of his memedom, if you will.
All right, you got to put down the hooch over there in the 237 Roof Studios. We got about 1,005 before we got that. But, yeah, it is awesome from Steve Levy. More shade today. First, your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business. Like the pros at Patio Center, go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down, starting with Mark, to help you create a vision and then fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. The collective group at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to Patio Center. .com, the kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center.
Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
All right, we got a two for today. First, if you're getting that amped up about the NFL scouting combine, that you're dissecting the fact that Kyler Murray is 5'10" and 1/8 inches, 207 pounds. If that's got you up in a tizzy, like so many years past, we've gotten excited about how big a guy's hands are. If that really has you that amped up, then I feel for you, son, because you need to get over it. And I thought Joel Klatt on Twitter yesterday had one of the best rebuttals I've ever heard to what's becoming an antiquated and stupid notion that you need to be 6'2 if you're a quarterback to see over the line of scrimmage. Joel Klatt of Fox Sports demolished that by reminding everyone, well, if every single lineman is 6'5", 6'6", and 6'7", does it really matter if you're 5'10 or you're 6'2"? And he's absolutely right. It doesn't matter in this day and age if you're a mobile quarterback, and we have examples of shorter mobile quarterbacks a la Russell Wilson. We've got examples of pro-style shorter quarterbacks a la, let me think here, Drew Brees, a guy who's going to be in Canton a couple years after he hangs it up with the New Orleans Saints. So this idea of quarterback height as the be-all, end-all, just as stupid as they come. So I'm throwing shade there, and I've got one more. Last night, Pelicans played the Lakers. Yeah, they lost. That's probably good. Who really cares anymore? But what's comical is the fact that Anthony Davis scored the opening points of the game for the New Orleans Pelicans, and on the scoreboard, they were credited to the Los Angeles Lakers inside of Staples Center. Somebody in L.A., well, they're not getting fired. They're probably getting promoted. I doubt that was an accident. But already, the Browns' points are being attributed to LeBron James' team. Was that done in good faith, Magic? Was that something that was done upright? I'm not so sure about that. Whether it was an accident or not, it is pretty funny, and it's a sign of what's coming.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I'm just saying. All right, we're going to hit our final break of the hour. Clint and I'll get reconnected a little bit. We don't need any more Five Mississippi. I'll unplug, replug. That's how you fix all technological issues. And then we'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Minutes to 6 o'clock. We're back. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And this place for pre 6 o'clock, absolutely packed out. Rhythms on the River type presence right now. Come and join us if you get a chance. They'll have live music 8 until 11 tonight. And of course, no cover charge. The Tap Room River Ranch, the place to be right now and throughout your Thursday night. We can take some phone calls the rest of this hour. Don't forget, James Buehrs will be with us straight up 6 o'clock. Prep basketball playoffs, boys and girls. Speaking of that, STM won Tuesday night. Danny Broussard and the boys will be playing tomorrow night. And Danny Jones will have the live call again on our sister station. And matchup of area teams. Pretty cool stuff. Number 4, St. Thomas More, hosting number 5, David Thibodeau. That's going to be tomorrow night, 5:45. Pregame show, 6 o'clock tip-off, and you'll hear it on the rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Oak Grove, Lake Charles. So we'll have high school basketball tomorrow night here on our family of stations at Delta Media. And Clint and I, we're getting cut short about 30 minutes today. But the reason why, I think, is stellar. LSU at Mississippi State women's basketball. So we'll send you at 6:30 to Stark Vegas and right into the action. Nikki Fargus and the Lady Tigers looking to improve a potential NCAA tournament resume. So a lot going on Acadiana Sports Station and throughout all of our different stations. All right, you want to call in? Like I said, we got time. 706-0111. We've spent a boatload of time today talking about the boatload of cash that's being dumped off for one Bryce Harper. 13-year, $330 million is the deal in free agency, largest ever in terms of total dollars, and he's going to sign with the Philadelphia Phillies. That according to John Heyman of the MLB Network. There's no opt-out for the 26-year-old, and none of that money is deferred. It's all coming to him in guaranteed dollars. Absolutely incredible. The Nats, they will get a compensatory first-round pick. As earlier this winter, Bryce Harper rejected their qualifying offer. And the Phillies, as they didn't pay the luxury tax last year, they get this deal done, but it's going to cost them a second-rounder this year as part of the situation. So really and truly, I think the Nats were okay with getting rid of their big gun, a guy that never led the franchise out of the first round in the National League. And suddenly, don't look now, I had this debate with Jeff Horchek, Dave Schultz here at the Tap Room in a break moments ago. Are the Phillies the front runner in the National League? They're certainly one of them. But just based off their offseason acquisitions alone, here's how their lineup could look in 2019. Andrew McCutchen, leadoff left field. Gene Segura, who came over from the Brewers, had an all-star season. Shortstop, batting second. Bryce Harper, right fielder, batting third. And one of the best catchers, certainly offensively, in the game, JT Realmuto from the Miami Marlins, batting cleanup. And that's before you get to some of the guys that they've been grooming in their franchise for a while. Rhys Hopkins, Azdubel Herrera, Mikel Franco, Cesar Hernandez, and their ace pitcher, top five finisher in the NL Cy Young race this last year, former LSU starter Aaron Nola, who, by the way, was extended this year himself in the offseason. So the Phillies are making quite a strong push, and that's been the big story of the day, to be certain. We spent equal time probably talking about Jason Witten. He's coming out of retirement, going back to the Dallas Cowboys for his 16th season, and we've gotten to many of your responses on Facebook, not quite all of them. CD, we do have a few more sprinkled in, so let's get to that. Dusty says, good old JR, he wants Jim Ross. All right, not bad. Different sport than what we're used to seeing him for, I believe, but we could get that. Theo says John Madden, or maybe Howie Long, since Madden is retired. But here's the one that you've probably been waiting for, brother. Sage says, Alan Michael, bring some hype to the booth. Would that be okay with you, Clint?
Oh, no, I think that would be just fantastic. But mind you, I don't think he'll be Monday Night Football. He'll be Sunday Night Football for the XFL. He's signing up for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he's got the drop on that job. Let's see, we got more here. Sean says, Stone Cold Steve Austin or Colin Kaepernick. Those are two very different figures publicly. Vincent says, Howard Stern. Not going to lie, I would probably tune in to see that at least once. And Billy says, Dennis Miller, the retread of all retreads. We typically get retreads in coaching, but that suggestion says we need one in the booth as a color analyst. So hilarious. A couple of big national storylines there. The other local topic that we've spent some time with, and we'll bring it to the 5 o'clock crowd now, LSU baseball, good news for one starting pitcher, less than stellar news for another. Eric Walker is going to get his first weekend start of the year this Sunday as LSU wraps up a three-game set against the Texas Longhorns in Austin. Hey, that's good news. Walker has pitched almost strictly in reserve, or I should say out of the bullpen, so far in 2019. He did start last night in a rout of Southern at Alec Box Stadium, but he only pitched two innings. And after the game, Paul Maneri was asked why, and now we know, right? Now we know it's because Eric Walker, they were saving him. They're going to want more innings out of him Sunday. And so LSU going to Austin, they're going to trot out Zach Hess, Landon Marceau, and then Eric Walker. The next question you're going to ask me, so what exactly has happened to Jaden Hill? That's the less than stellar news. The freshman from Arkansas dealing with some arm soreness. Maneri said he will not be available to pitch this weekend. You hope that that's a similar case to some of the things that were ailing Gunnar Leje with UL, if you're going to rest him, have precaution early. I get it, but hopefully that's all it is. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Tim is with us, and Tim wants to talk Monday Night Football. Hit us, Tim.
Yeah, I think if you can add him, Kevin Harlan deserves as much national airtime as he can possibly get.
Okay, so this is similar to what T brought to the table. T said Laura Rutledge. Well, I don't like to typecast people, but she's outstanding as a sideline reporter. Kevin Harlan is dynamite as a lead, right? He's your play-by-play. I don't know if Kevin Harlan fits in color. My guess is he would make it work, but I don't know about that role, Tim. You feel me?
Yeah, I got you. But, I mean, his, he just, he brings it all.
So, no, he's awesome. He's awesome. And he might be the best out there, along with, you could argue, Jim Nance. That just, he could lead whatever sporting broadcast that you have. I'm a huge Kevin Harlan fan, Tim. Huge.
Yeah, they could make Kevin Harlan and Tony Romo work. That would be just number one all time.
That's not bad, brother. I appreciate the dial. Kevin Harlan, basketball, right between the irons. Absolutely phenomenal. But I know that when Kevin Harlan gets mentioned on this show, frankly, I'm going to be disappointed if Clint hasn't been using his time back in the 237 Roof Studios pulling up his favorite Kevin Harlan. My guess is it's always at a fingertips moment's notice. But, Clint, I'll let you tell me if you're about to play what I think you're going to play.
Currently working on it right now, Ben, because I'm having a hard time finding it, surprisingly.
I can't believe that's not top of mind. No pro shade to be thrown at you here. I'm just shocked that's not one of your sticky keys. I figured that was such a go-to for you that it deserved a spot right next to your boy Mike Gundy. With the fat reference, with the I'm man, I'm 40. I'm going to give you about 10 more Mississippi.
Yeah, I got it ready.
Because I can't filibuster anymore. So if you got it, you got it, then you got to play it.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue coat.
The left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Look at the...
I've got so many reactions to that. Number one, it's phenomenal. Number two, the fact that he committed, the man is bare-chested. The man is beating his chest. I mean, the actual play-by-play, yeah, where he's at on the field is phenomenal. But also, my other takeaway, somebody should tackle Kurt Warner for interrupting that. I'm assuming that's who that is.
Yes.
Somebody should have tackled Kurt Warner for breaking that up. And I know my compadre on the other side of the basin, Matt Moscona, does a segment called Shut Up Color Guy. I know this because, well, he put me and Chet on there from several years back in the Karen Crow Acadiana game. But this would be a pretty good example, and I'm sure Scona has done this one before, but somebody should have tackled. I mean, seriously, should have just absolutely laid out Kurt Warner there, because that was peak Kevin Harlan. He was having an NBA jam, this man's on fire, he's in the zone moment, and you should never break somebody up when they're going on that type of a heater, CD, ever.
No, you shouldn't, Ben. And you're bringing up NBA jam. He actually had a really good soundbite recently. So I'm gonna let you hear this one, and then we'll kind of wrap up the hour here. All right, Ben?
Hit me.
Shooting, and there's a throwaway. Oh, Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Pastold Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight spilled on the floor.
I've never heard that before. That's extraordinary. I might start saying that about places I go, kind of like the tap room, River Ranch right now, or like a party at my house. Beer is every place. I love that. So, Kevin Harlan, thank you for all that you do and your public services. Clint, cut that out for me. It might become my ringtone. Beer is every place. And with that, we're going to wind down hour number two. What a way to do it. Great time so far. Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek have come aboard. James Buers, when we return, what's going on the high school hardwood? The girls, the boys, they're heading toward the finals if they're not already there. We'll talk about all of it and more. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming back to the Tap Room, River Ranch, and beer is every place on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. This is hour number three. Bumper to Bumper Sports, lifting off from the Tap Room River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room, the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. And quickly, we're going to bring aboard our good friend James Buers, now with the Acadiana Advocate, throwing a blanket over prep coverage here in our area. He's aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. How are you tonight, James?
I'm doing well, Ben. How are you doing, man?
Fantastic. I'm excited about getting over to Lake Chuck next week to watch the boys getting to their semis and finals. So why don't we start there, and then we'll get back around to the girls in Alexandria this week. First off, the whole area seems to be buzzing about Bro Bridge Westgate tomorrow from Pont Bro. I'd love for your breakdown of that game, how the two teams are playing. We know they're contrasting styles, but just what do you make out of this intriguing matchup?
Yeah, it should be a really fun one. And, you know, I was talking to Bro Bridge coach Chad Forshaw earlier today, and, you know, he was telling me he thinks the environment at Bro Bridge Friday could be even better than what it would be in the top 28 for them if they were fortunate enough to get there and play in the semifinals. So it should be a really, really fun matchup. You know, Bro Bridge has got kind of a small gym, too. So the more people in there, the more raucous it should be. But it's a matchup of contrasting styles. You know, Bro Bridge is known for their defense. That's something Forshaw kind of emphasizes, kind of that physical, hard-nosed, man-to-man defense. They're going to pressure teams, try to kind of create some chaos and create easy scoring opportunities for themselves in transition, whereas Westgate's the complete opposite. They like to get up and down the floor. They're really good from the perimeter. Honestly, when they're shooting threes well, they're nearly impossible to beat because they've got so many guys who can do that. So I think that chess match will be really interesting tomorrow night, or excuse me, Friday night, which is tomorrow night, excuse me. but I think that'll be really interesting to see who can kind of win out in that situation, whether it's the three-point shooting and the aerial assault that Westgate can kind of offer, or the grind it out kind of win ugly, so to speak, that Bro Bridge kind of has success with.
Hey, I don't blame you for trying to remember exactly what day it is because, well, you've been here, there, and everywhere. I know you've been in Alexandria. You're going back tomorrow. You got Lake Charles coming up. We get it, man. All right, let's stay on the non-select side. In fact, we'll stay in Class 4A. Karen Crow is finding a way to have all three games at home, which in and of itself is a pretty tremendous feat. But they've got a red-hot Livonia team. I know they're the 20 seed, but something tells me this will be a big challenge for Christopher Kovach's Bears inside the Bear Cave tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Kovach was my partner over at the Advocate, Kevin Foote's radio show earlier this week, and he was talking about how after the game after their second round win against Huntington, they were walking off the floor, and someone had mentioned that Livonia was up by three late in that game against Woodlawn, and they kind of just didn't want to believe it because they were like, well, if we believe it and get our hopes up, and then we find out we're having to play Woodlawn, then you know that could send the wrong message. But it turned out that Livonia actually won that game. And, you know, I think it was kind of a sigh of relief for Kovach himself, because I think he realized that going to Woodlawn, a team they beat in the championship game last year, would be a tough challenge. You know that Woodlawn team would be kind of carrying a chip on their shoulder and want to get some revenge. So instead, they're hosting Livonia, who, you know, you have to give them a lot of credit. As a 20 seed, especially beating a powerhouse like Woodlawn on the road, that's pretty impressive. And you know, for you know, I think Kovacs is expecting a team that's really scrappy, is going to play really hard. They don't have the size that Karamko has, but when you kind of play with that nothing-to-lose mentality, you know, you never know what you're going to get from an opponent. So it should be really interesting. But, you know, Karamko's kind of gotten to the point, you know, this is the second year in a row they'll have an opportunity to get to the top 28, obviously having won their first state championship in school history last year. And it seems like they're becoming a program that knows how to win at this point in the season. And that's amazing considering they lost five seniors from last year, basically their entire starting lineup. They had to start over, basically, and they're still – here, you know, doing what they've been able to do. So I like Karamko's chances in this game. I just think they're a better team and they are going to find a way to win. They showed how tough they were against Huntington, falling behind and having to come back. So I don't expect any differently against Livonia.
All right, we'll keep it for another beat or two, James, on the non-select side of things. And we've got a couple of area teams that are involved in 4-5 games. One of them on the road, and boy, is this going to be an uphill climb just because of how tough the team is. But in the 3A bracket, number 5, Abbeville, is at number 4, Madison Prep. In the 2A side, number 4, Ville Platte, is hosting number 5, Lakeview. Out of the two area teams, Abbeville, Ville Platte, which for you has the better chance of surviving and making it to the top 28?
To be perfectly frank with you, we don't cover Ville Platte too much, so I don't know a lot about that matchup, but I can tell you about the Abbeville-Madison Prep game, and that's obviously a huge challenge for Abbeville-Madison Prep is the defending champion in that classification, and it's been to the top 28, I think, 6 years in a row. So they obviously know how to win at this point, whereas Abbeville, they haven't been to the top 28 since 2011. They went back-to-back in 2010 and 2011 and got to the championship game in 2011 and ultimately lost to Carroll. But they've had some kind of lean years in recent years. Actually, after going to the championship game in 2011, they made it in the playoffs as a 32 seed the following year, but then missed the playoffs in 3 of the next 4 years. So they haven't had that kind of sustained success, but they got in last year to 27 and then jumped to the number 5 this year. And I think the key for them is that they have a backcourt made up of 3 seniors. So, you know, anytime you've got that experience in the backcourt, you have a chance. But Madison Prep's just got a lot of talent. And, you know, I think even Abbeville coach Burrow Campbellton admitted to me they kind of have to play a perfect game to beat them. But we'll see. You never know. It's the playoffs. And you know, maybe luck will be on their side when they go to Madison Prep tomorrow night.
James Buehr is with us, doing great work these days, sports reporter for the Acadiana Advocate. And we'll go to the select side. Specifically, James, let's start with Select Division II, and it's a shame. Terling's Catholic Rebels didn't advance to the quarterfinals because they put forth a heck of an effort on Tuesday night, lost by just 7 at the 3-seed De La Salle. But that does leave us with a quarterfinal matchup hitting two area teams against one another. David Thibodeau at St. Thomas More. This one, I think, has a chance to be a lot of fun and probably pretty close inside the Cougar Dome. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, it's interesting. Eskeem and David Thibodeau have never played in a game that meant anything. They played in summer league games and they played in jamborees, but they've never played in the regular season nor in the playoffs. And it's interesting that they're meeting now for a spot to go to the top 28. Even Danny Broussard was telling me, you know, it's such a cool thing for a program or a coach to get to the top 28 for the first time. It thinks that, you know, his team has to be in the way of that. But it should be an interesting matchup. One thing Danny was telling me is that David Thibodeau matches their depth. That's something that they've kind of really had an advantage a lot of time. STM has. They've been able to throw out more bodies. Well, David Thibodeau can do that too. And also Danny is concerned about their interior, David Thibodeau's interior. They've got 3 kids in the paint that I think are taller than any of their any of STM's kids, or at least can match their height. So I think that would be interesting whether or not STM can handle the interior of David Thibodeau and who will win out as far as, you know, the number of bodies each team can throw out there. So a really cool thing for Lafayette to have 2 teams, at least on the select side, that can advance to the top 28 tomorrow night.
I'm going to skip over Select Division III. No disrespect intended to Catholic and New Iberia, but we've got some time constraints. And kind of like Abbeville having to go to Madison Prep, the Panthers have to go to Dunham, and they might be one of the best two or three teams in the state, regardless of classification. So we'll fast forward briefly past that. Let's get to Division Four. LCA, the one seed, is going to host Ascension Catholic tomorrow night. Opelousas Catholic is going to host St. Mary's. VC is at Hamilton Christian. And finally, Central Catholic of Morgan City is going to host Southern Lab. I know that there's going to be a big challenge for VC, right? Going over to Lake Charles, taking on Hamilton Christian. But there is the off chance, James, that we have all four teams in the top 28 from this division being from our area, if we count Morgan City. Any chance that happens?
I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know, you know, at this stage. But I do like LCA's chances, obviously. I think they, you know, it would be shocking if they didn't get to the top 28 for, you know, I guess this would now be like the fourth year in a row if they got there. They've obviously won the last two championships. And also, I think Opelousas Catholic has a pretty good chance against St. Mary's. That's actually a team I have not seen this year, so I don't know a ton about them. But they've had, I think, kind of flown under the radar and been a really strong team. And even before the playoffs started, LCA coach Errol Rogers was telling me, you know, that's a team to keep an eye on. But they're playing the St. Mary's team that played LCA in the championship game last year and has a really good player in Thomas Howell at center. So I'm interested to see if Opelousas Catholic can give St. Mary's a game and even win it, but we'll see how that goes. But I definitely like LCA's chances. I'd probably say Opelousas Catholic has the second best chance, and then probably BC and Central Catholic after that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a whole lot of area representation in Lake Charles. Just how much? Well, we'll know in about a day and two or three more hours. James, thank you for doing this. And we had so much fun that I forgot about the girls' side. I promise we'll have to get that in soon. Otherwise, we'll be following your coverage at the Acadiana Advocate. Thank you, James.
Thanks so much, man. Have a good one.
James Viewers. And, again, for interest of time, we had to go a little bit past a few matchups there. We didn't get to the ladies, but a number of area teams have gotten to the finals in Alexandria. Boy, I wish those were being contested at a different place. I don't mind telling you that. Rapides Parish Coliseum is a fine enough facility. It's even centrally located in the state, but it's a little bit frustrating, I know, for a lot of people that are involved with high school basketball. Not making fun of Alexandria, just how I feel. Quarter past 6 o'clock. We're going to take our final timeout. After we huddle up, we'll talk to you. Call when you're ready. 706-0111. Final segment of the show coming up. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Very, and I mean very astute listener. There might be more than just the one, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I was just texted into the program, and I'm here for it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, here for another few minutes at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. We're about 10 minutes away from sending you to Stark Vegas, LSU at Mississippi State women's basketball. So Nikki Fargus and LSU on the road tonight in SEC play, and of course you'll be able to hear it right here on Acadiana Sports Station. CD, said astute listener, said, Ben, we don't all have access to Kevin Harlan's call of the man is drunk, which I'm not sure is true or not. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'm sure it can be Googled. But maybe it's not in crystal clear recording, as Clint has it.
Hey, somebody's run out on the field. Some goofball in a hand.
Hey, oh, hold on. I'm going to call for that there, brother. False start on Clint. I didn't tell the story yet. The astute listener said that he wants to get it. And he wants to save it. He wants to use it as his ringtone. And we are nothing if not men of the people. All right, Clint, how about now?
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he is... like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in
he
before
did,
they
yes.
got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. But I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
Oh, my gosh. I hope I didn't ruin that for said astute listener. I had to giggle during some of the end portions there. Clint, we might have to find a way to work a portion of that into just about every show. Maybe every Thursday show at the Tap Room. That's the best sound of any sporting event that maybe I've ever heard.
Beer is every place.
Okay, that one's really good, too. Beer is every place. Okay, let me just say this, and we'll knock on wood. But if I'm to pass away sometime in the next, like, 5 to 15 years, probably can't get away with this if I'm an elder statesman. But if it happens... and I'm still fairly young, you know, below where it says beloved husband and, you know, maybe at that point, doting father. Can I just get, like, in quotations, beer is every place?
Beer is that proper, is every Clint? Place.
I'll take that as a yes from you. It's a good answer on your part. Beer is every place. Kevin Harlan, beer circa like 2017 or 18. All right, now we're getting into Jim Rome show territory. We're gonna back up off it for a second. But we might have to find a way during Tap Room shows to work in some Kevin Harlan, because I want to make that a thing, and it's my show. So that's something we may look into doing. Something else that happened, CD. Shame on me. I didn't cue this up for you. But I bet you'll find it, because you're smooth like that. Another thing that came across my Facebook timeline this week. This is the one-year anniversary show of when the Tap Room, and they'll do this from time to time on Thursdays, they'll have certain professional groups that come and meet, and I don't think they really get a lot done in the way of business, but they seem to have a lot of fun and fraternize and quote-unquote network. I'm all for it. I believe it was attorneys that night. If not, it was realtors. But they had a huge crowd that was here, and there was a certain lady that was kind of holding court. She had a mic. Kind of competing sound with yours truly, but I was entertained because they were having a good time, right? And beer was every place. But there was a certain point, and it wasn't the lady with the mic, but another lady came over, and she slipped a sheet of paper underneath my computer. And I waited until the break to read it, and it said, and I quote, "Could you please play Brick House?" That came across my TL this week, and we might have to... There you go. I can start to hear it a little bit, Clint. We might have to bust that out a little bit. Yeah, I could talk under that or over that, as it were. That's one of my all-time favorite moments from the Tap Room. And again, if you weren't listening to it last year and you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a certain awareness that you're forced to have in that moment. Because if you are, in fact, sitting in a bar with a headset on and there's a computer in front of you, and there's music in general that's playing at the bar, there might be some questions, understandably so, about just what it is that you do. And so that night I learned that some people think that I am here spinning the tunes that are clearly being dispensed by Pandora, iTunes, whatever they use here, just pumping it through the house speakers. So, no, I can't play you Brick House in the bar, but my good friend... Clint Domain can make that happen here on Acadiana Sports Station. So I'm happy to be that person for you when I can. And that's also part of the reason that we've got this pretty kick-ass 103.7 The Game pull-up banner that's behind me at all times now. Clint, if that same moment were to happen this year in 2019 with this banner, then the woman is drunk and she's running across the bar.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, you get me. Exactly right. If it happens this time around, that she just doesn't want to recognize what's going on here, which has been 2.5 hours so far of largely productive sports talk about sports. But occasionally we dive into the Kevin Harlan. Thank you to our friend Tim for bringing his name up. It's been gold since. And occasionally we have to have remembrances of things like, could you please play some Brick House? I know you remember that moment from last year.
How can you not? That was probably one of the more iconic moments of Bumper to Bumper Sports, not just as a show as a whole over the last almost 4 years we've been doing it, but in terms of Bumper to Bumper Sports at the Tap Room, I think that's the most iconic moment of all time.
Three funniest things that have happened to me while doing shows here. We've had a lot of great guests that come in live. Jeff Horchek sets in with us. We've had Brad Boyd, James Ricks on the high school basketball side. We've had some of the UL brass, Nico Yanko, Patrick Crawford. They've come here and done sets with us. I feel like I'm probably forgetting some people. Butch Pierre, when he wrote his book, longtime LSU and a then USL basketball assistant. We've had a lot of those things. But here are the top three funniest things that have happened, or just great moments, when I've been to the Tap Room. One was the Brick House note. Two, there was a gentleman who came and left a note that was a lot more heartfelt. I keep it in my office. If he's listening now, he knows who he is. But it was a note that said, work is hard, raising kids is hard, listening to your show on the way home is like the greatest escape ever. Thank you for doing what you do. That was badass. And number three, and I don't think I've told this story on the show because that's just a story about a creeper, frankly. But there was a woman that was literally just like hanging over my right shoulder, very intoxicated, while my wife at the time was sitting like one booth over, just watching this happen and giggling hysterically because the woman was in no way, shape, or form lusting over me. She just was so enamored by what is this moron doing with the headset on in the corner of the bar. And then after a while, eventually, her boyfriend pulled her away, and I was like, hey, man, I listen to your show all the time. I told her what you were doing, and from there, she just kind of had a mind of her own. And, I mean, what am I going to tell the guy to put her on a leash? I can't do that. But at the same time, it was one of the weirdest moments that I've ever had. I'm going to leave you with that as we part ways on a Thursday. Our thanks to Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek, James Buers, and not that drunk lady who hung over my shoulder that one time. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll catch you tomorrow live from Ruffino's on the river. Come and join us. Me, Ruffin, Trev Falk, Billy Napier, and more all on 103.7 The Game.